Ham Radio 2.0 audio podcast rip. Thank you for downloading and listening to this podcast. So basically what I do is I take all the audio clips out of my videos and upload them to Spreaker, and then from there they're spread out to iTunes and SoundCloud and now Amazon Audible as well. But I want to welcome you and thank you for joining the audio section of this series on Ham Radio. I hope you enjoy it, and I would appreciate you leaving us a comment or a review on whatever podcast service you're listening from. Thank you, and 73. Hope you enjoy it. So, more to come on that later, but what's going on with the Pathfinder?
Well, you know, we've had a lot of exciting stuff. Joe and the boys have been making some pretty great strides. We just released, do you have the update with TGIF yet?
I think I got a notice that it said that if I wanted to do the beta, then I could choose to do the beta, which TGIF was supported on. But
what version do you have on your gray bar at the top?
Let's see. I'll tell you right now. That's not 1.2.
Yeah,
it says dev 1.2.
You should be up to 1.4. So like, okay. I'll help you get that updated. But okay. The 1.4 actually has and you can switch back and forth between what we call the stable and the experimental version. But you can flip to the experimental version and get the TGIF, and you just literally have to put in your TGIF hotspot password and take a connection.
Oh, there it goes. Okay, update now to RF1_1.4.
Yep, that's it. So.
Okay. All right. I'm update now.
Yep.
Downloading the update.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Okay. Is like all the updates happen inside the app now. So even like, you know, if there's a ROM update, it'll let us know, you know, stuff like that. So.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I've noticed that because I don't boot this thing and use it every day, but I generally will take it on road trips. And when I took it to Colorado, 2 or 3 weeks ago, I went up there with Gigaparts for an Overland show.
Oh, how was it?
It was fun. It was fun. So I look forward to. There's another one in Virginia in October next month that I was gonna try to go to, but I am not gonna be able to make it. Well, I had a question come in when and you already answered it, but not on stream. So Forgotten Cameras. Now this is a guy. Forgotten Cameras is his name, and he's talking about old versions of Android. So I find that ironic, but. You know, I laugh at stuff like that. My biggest question about the security of the older Android versions on the B1 Plus, very interested in getting one, but that's holding me back. So,
well, it shouldn't hold you back, honestly. You know, we do a few times a year, we do security patch updates. And we have users that are still on Android 6 on the original M1s and the K1s. They work perfectly. In fact, I was in Germany. And I met one user that had a that had an original H1.
Really?
Yeah, he had an original H1, and that was 6.5 years ago, roughly.
Yeah.
Just about a little over six. That unit's on 5.1.1, and he was using it daily, and it was still working perfectly. You know, it's a radio.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a lot more than a radio, like what I tell people. So, but yeah, good. Okay.
My mom says I finally did something right, guys. So, so just remember, it's mom approved. So
that's right. That's right. That's right. It's mom approved.
Mom approved.
That's good. That's funny.
Yep. So we have some B1 classics. They're only available at the rfinder.net website. Not
okay.
You know, so if you guys want to save a little bit of money, they're under $1,000. We are well under $1,000. So you can grab classic B1s, which work perfectly. You have a classic B1 in your hand.
Yeah, yeah. This is a classic. In fact, this is one of the first ones. This is the one that Nick had.
Oh, really?
And, yeah.
Oh, that was one of the prototypes.
Yeah. I mean, the hardware is all the same, I think. But yeah, it had the original prototype. Dual band app on it, so
yep,
or dual band ROM or whatever it was on it, yep. So yeah,
mm-hmm. Yep. So that was actually the module that the RF module that I designed. So
It still runs great. I mean, every time I boot it up, it comes right up. It does all the updates. I like taking, I like traveling with it because, you know, you could just find repeaters with it easily.
Yeah, you never have to program it. It just works.
Right.
You know, and you can't find a DMR repeater. You just hit the DMR override, the DMR right button, and you're instantly on, you know, on Brandmeister or TGIF Neto without modifying a code plug to do it or anything. It just works. So.
Yeah. What's new from the B1 to the B1 Plus?
USB charging.
Right.
It's Android 9 instead of 8. And it's got a 2.3 gigahertz processor instead of 2, but you really don't feel the difference. It's not.
Okay.
Okay. But you don't actually like actual end user performance. It doesn't really make a difference.
Yeah.
So, but those are the only differences. But we, like I said, we do have B1 Classics in stock, ready to go from rfinder.net without any delay. They work fantastic. Mm-hmm. I have actually here, we have for special order also, this one is a 14.
Oh, that's the one that works with, what's it, COM 14 or whatever?
Yeah, with FirstNet. It's got
Yeah,
it's got LTE band 14 on it. So so and 13, by the way, for those that like have been asking for band 13 on Verizon and stuff. So
okay.
It's got band 14, and that's really the only difference.
So let me get Terry's question real quick. Can this replace my cell and add radio? I've not looked at the R Finder very much. So I'll tell you this. I carried the M1. I don't remember if I carried the H1 or not. I had an H1. But I carried the M1 for a year and a half. And I got the K1 and tested it and got rid of it. I didn't like the small form factor. That was just my personal preference.
It wasn't my favorite either.
Yeah. But I carried the M1 for a year and a half as my only cell phone. And it worked. It worked great. So the great thing about the B1 is it's just more. It's dual band. The M1, the original M1 was mono band. So this one's dual band. It's got a lot more features in it. And Bob, I'm going to ask you later. I don't want to get into this at the moment, but about your APRS progress, about getting actual APRS built into it.
Well, we have APRS now through the we have something like APRS in the RFinder system.
Yeah,
can see where everybody else is that you know that have opted in to sharing their positioning. Mm-hmm. But you can also turn on a switch that says, you know what, post me onto APRS also. So it does a pass through without actually taking up time on the transmit.
But it does that over the internet, right? It doesn't actually transmit an RF signal.
That is correct. Now, we are working on the ability, and we think we're pretty close. We're in test development mode on feeding audio from Android into the RF module and receiving audio from the RF module into Android. And we have a device with the guy that wrote APRS Droid.
Okay.
So he's got a device. He's just waiting for us to finish the API. That same API is going to enable some other things like slow scan television, stuff like that, obviously. And we're also working on something with Heavens Above to be able to track satellite, right. This thing, change frequency, blah, blah, blah. And hopefully if I can get this thing working, then we'll move on to the portable AS-L rotator that operates off of Bluetooth. So it'll actually like swing an arrow antenna for you automatically as you're...
I'm looking forward to trying that.
Yep, me too. Yeah.
John from Yeezy wants to know, have the issues with AT&T not allowing it on their system been updated? I know that was a thing way back when, but I think that's long past being...
Yeah, that's long been straightened out. Truth is, they are trying to strong arm people into leasing devices from them.
Yeah.
So they basically said, you know, anything that is not on our approved list and there's an extortion fee from us to be able to get on their official approved list.
Yeah.
In the middle of doing it, and then they pulled the rug out from Bring Your Own Device, BYOD. Mm-hmm. And we were just about to send them a check, and they were like, no more BYOD. I was like, well, why are we paying money with you guys to get on your approved list if you're not going to allow it anymore? Mm-hmm. So we took another approach. We told people to call AT&T and tell them that if you do not enable this device, you're going to lose me as a customer right now. I'll just go over to T-Mobile and it'll just work without any question. Mm-hmm. And magically, somehow, I don't know how it happened, all of a sudden people are having no...
All of a sudden it worked.
All they have to do is call up second level support and tell them to override it, make it look like a Galaxy S8, and magically it works.
Yeah, so Firearm, that's a cool name. F-Y-R-E, Arm. Firearm N0WHA says, I got an AT&T SIM put in at the store. They had to override it, and it showed as not compatible, but it worked fine when they did the override. So,
that's correct.
There you go.
So another happy customer.
There you go.
And, you know, unfortunately, they're causing the problem, not us. They'll tell you the 3G device, and they're lying. And they know better because we actually updated all the data, the GSM database, worldwide database, to show these IMEIs as 4G, and showing actually what actual bands that they operate on. And they like to pretend. I don't know. I like pretending occasionally. It's fun. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
When will it support Bluetooth on the radio side? That's a good question that I'd like to know myself.
Well, the truth is we had an external device that was ready to go. And unfortunately, something happened with that manufacturer. They kind of like fell off the planet. So we're looking at another one. It's going to connect to the Pogo port on the right side.
This guy. Yep.
And then you'll have a Bluetooth device that'll go through that. We've attempted to, and it was in the design spec to allow Bluetooth directly from Android, but unfortunately, after you go through all hardware development and start developing the software, then you find out things. So we ended up with like a 3 to 4 second latency.
Oh wow!
It was just
That's
not
terrible.
Yeah, if it was 1 second, maybe, but it's 3 to 4 seconds. It's just not even like usable. So, so we could use the internal Bluetooth to get to the radio, but we're working on a side attached device to provide Bluetooth. So, and I had one, I had it working, and then it's like, where are you guys? We're ready to order, and like,
oh, sheesh,
yep,
goodness. John wants to know if it works with Verizon. It works with everything, honestly. Inside of the USA and outside of the USA. It has dual SIM slots.
So. Yep. In fact, you take a Verizon, you have to use a working SIM from Verizon from another device. So you take your working SIM and stick it in here, go to Verizon, get another SIM for your device, go home and swap them, and you're back to where you were and with a new device. And you know, in foreign countries, you know, I've tested this all over. I've tested it in the Congo. I've tested it in Israel. I've tested it in all over Europe. I was just in Germany. I grabbed a SIM and slammed it in two of them, actually. And they just turned on and started working instantly. I'm down here in Mexico. I use a Telcel SIM. This is a dual SIM unit. So I've got a Telcel SIM and a AT&T FirstNet SIM. And you know, I can swap back and forth and they work just fine. So it's great.
Good.
Yeah, Mike, I agree. 3 to 4 seconds is nasty. It's unusual. The Bluetooth one that we're looking at is quasi instantaneous. So we should have that going pretty soon. In fact, we've had users create them. Same kind of solution. They've like taken a headset and created a wired in a Bluetooth module for like motorcycles and stuff.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yep.
Okay. Good. So.
Yes, Salty Ham, you do need one. Get a hold of me right after.
That's right. Yeah. HL is asking about transcoding. So I know that you were talking about that at one point, but you know what? A lot of companies have tried that and nobody's made it successful except for really, I guess.
You know, honestly, what's better is an end node. For instance, mm-hmm. if you wanted to use DStar, you would stick DroidStar on it. You can go straight to the DStar network over IP. You know, not over RF, obviously, over IP. But we are working on something very interesting. The thing I mentioned earlier about routing audio to and from the RF exciter and the receiver into and out of Android. We're working on something with M17. So we believe if we can get this working properly, that M7, we will have the first production M17 device. Literally, you'll literally like load the software and you'll be ready to rock and roll. So
will it connect over IP? Connect as
first we're doing IP and then we're doing over RF.
Okay, so you'll be able to use like,
But
so,
right now, I mean, understand that there really is no true RF solution. There's no like,
correct
way of getting a, you know, a repeater, an M17 right. up and running, you know, so it's all theoretical and in the right. lab, you know, in Poland, I guess they have it running right now and in the lab in Poland.
They have some way to hack a TYT MD380. And it's quite the hack because I saw it. They had it at Orlando last February.
It's
so
quite a hack, believe me.
Yeah.
Well, but we support the M17 guys, and we're hoping that, like I said, we are truly hoping that we will have the first production M17 device, and then when the repeaters are rock, you know, you'll be able to go point to point between devices. But
sure,
they have, and we'll be able to go over IP. So, you know, as an end node, like we do right now with you know, with DMR over IP. So, We think we're going to be the first ones to market with that.
Those guys will be at Tapper this weekend.
By the way, that'll be on the current B1. So if you have a B1 Classic or a B1 Plus or a B14 mm-hmm. Plus or one of the tablets, you know, the P7, P10s, those will all be able to do this. So mm-hmm.
for sure.
Yeah.
Cool, man. Well, why don't you do the screen share thing and show us what the DMR over IP to TGIF looks like.
All right, so if you take a look at DMR options, DMR ROIP options, we now have two different locations for the hotspot passwords. We have the ability to put in the hotspot passwords for both Brandmeister and TGIF, and I have to stop looking at YouTube because I'm like losing my mind.
Right.
And then you can put in what's known as what we call multi-RX, which is kind of like our answer to promiscuous mode on radio over IP. Because obviously we're not listening to a single frequency and trying to say, well, what's all our traffic on this particular frequency? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So so you can put in a set of talk groups that you listen to when you flip it into the promiscuous mode known as multi-RX on the radio side. And that's it. And then you choose your server. And then that's it.
I put that in. TGIF, is that the same password to everything? Do they have unique passwords the way that Brandmeister used to be just PASSW0RD, and then they may just start choosing unique passwords a while back? So
no, they assign you a password.
They assign you a password. Okay. Robert's in the chat. Robert hit me up. I have no freaking clue what my TGIF password is. So
well, just go on to TGIF.network and log in and click on click on your call sign and then self-care and then go into the shield icon and it'll show it to you.
Okay.
So it's very, very easy. That. And then to switch over to DMR over IP, you literally touch the DMR over IP button, mm-hmm. pops up a disclaimer, and then you can choose whether you're connecting to Brandmeister or TGIF. You click the TGIF. Oh. And if everything works right, then it says NetRoam on the screen, which is what it says right now. So we're actually connected right now on TGIF. Do you have a talk group on TGIF that we like that's pretty busy?
You know, the only one that I have ever used or quite frankly care about is 31665. That's the main talk group, or at least it used to be.
So that's the one. Over to 31665.
Yeah, 31665.
And if there's any traffic, we'll see it. Although I don't know if you can see my signal bars from where I am right now. It's pretty crappy right now. So
yeah, I see that. Yeah, I do. I also noticed that there's somebody talking. Yeah, that was you. That was you.
Okay.
That
was transmitting.
So all right, Izzo. I got to put that up there. So the thing that's unique about DMR over IP is I noticed that the blue, and this has been true since day one, the power button at the bottom right of the screen is blue instead of red. When it's red, it's on RF, so you can key up a local repeater, hotspot, whatever. When it's blue, it's on DMR over IP. So, you made it mad.
It usually handles it pretty well, but we're still connected. I just changed the.
Okay. So yeah, I noticed mine will say that sometimes. It says the app stops, but by the time I click close, it's already relaunched the app by itself. Mm-hmm. So, but again, I'm using a beta version. I'm not using the production version when I see that. So. Yeah. Just a heads up on that. So,
well, I'm on the dev version myself right now. So
yeah, I figured you were. So
anyway, it's literally a one button click to switch between DMR over IP and RF. It's literally a one button, one button to click to switch between IP and RF. So if you lose your repeater, it's immediately switch over to IP, and it's pretty.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, Robert's saying TGIF password is only for secure talk groups, and 31665 is a secure talk group. So, somebody else mentioned talk group 1033 on TGIF. I've not used that one myself, but send Terry a B1 now. That's what I should use for my password. No, not quite. Terry wants a B1.
Yeah, sure, Terry. Yeah. Terry, just hit me up later, and we'll get one out to you today. Radio experimentation at its finest.
That's right. Yeah.
Remember, guys, you're not ham radio operators. You are radio experimenters. Okay, so don't stop experimenting. Have fun learning every day. There's always something cool to learn. First of all, when you get one. Every person is on the design team. So if you come up with a great idea that we think we can make happen, some of our greatest ideas have come from our end users. Certainly a lot of our workflow stuff have come from end users. Many have come from me, obviously, in my travel around the world and seeing how people use radio and DMR in general and stuff like that. So, but your purchase today helps support our development for tomorrow. So it's, you're really jumping on board and being part of a great revolution in radio. It's a lot of fun. I mean, anybody that owns one will tell you how much fun they are to use.
I agree with that. It is a lot of fun to use.
Yep.
Cool.
And it just works anywhere on earth. It doesn't matter where I am. If I land in Tel Aviv, it'll work. If I land in Dallas, it'll work. If I land in, I took the ferry over to Cancun to Playa del Carmen, and they got machines over there. I was opening them up as I was driving to Cancun. So, it just works in coastal China, Hong Kong, Shenzhen.